Did you know that between 28 and 36% of the current carbon emissions on the planet come from transportation use? Shifting to electric-powered vehicles will result in a significant decrease in our carbon footprint. It's accurate to say that the future is here, including dynamic opportunities for business growth as we move to an electric vehicle world. Hello, I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Down to Earth, Tucson, with Mrs. Green. As much as it boggles my mind, the future really is here. And a big part of that is the rapidly accelerating transition in our world from one of driving cars using gasoline to electric-powered vehicles. Back as a return guest to talk about just that and what it will look like, at least in the state of Arizona. Also about the role that our partners, Tucson Electric Power, will play is Ray Martinez. And Ray is the TEP Program Manager for Residential Energy Efficiency Programs and Services. Now, Ray, is that a mouthful?
That is a mouthful, and it's actually just changed.
Late breaking news. So what's the news?
So I am now a Principal of Emerging Technologies and Innovations.
Whoa. Okay, that's still a long title. So what do you tell people? That's a great title, though. Principal.
So it's on the business card.
Okay.
I tell them what's on the business card.
You'll have to give me a new business card. I cannot wait. And when I say I'm really excited, I am. And before we dive into the show, just a quick shout out to TEP, the sponsor of this show. And as I have said before, TEP is really more than just a utility. They provide safe, reliable power to Tucson residents, which we are all extremely grateful for during this 107 to 109 degree heat. I, for one, am very grateful that it's safe and reliable. And they also offer customers a wide range of incentivized programs to help them reduce their energy costs and build a better future. On top of all that good stuff, which it really is good stuff, TEP sponsors numerous community events and encourages staff participation when volunteers are needed. So trust me when I say the list of organizations they support is quite long, and we thank them for all they do. So Ray, I'm so glad to have you here again and to get started, because there have been so many changes just since December when there was a lot you couldn't tell me. So let's go back for people that might not have heard your first show, which they can look up on my podcast. We talked about the how, and it was intriguing to me. The first question I want to ask is why? Why are we going towards an electric vehicle transportation system? What are the drivers?
So I think when we look at electric vehicle transportation, there are many drivers, right? It's really what's right for the consumer. I think a lot of what you said right now about it being, we talk about the efficiencies and the numerous sustainable opportunities that come from that. You talked a little bit about the greenhouse gas emissions from transportation. So these are, when I look at electric vehicle transportation, it's really what's in it for the consumer and where's the benefit for the consumer. For me, when I look at that vehicle, it's really about the nerd in me, the technology driver.
So I would not think of you as a nerd. But go on.
So I always like to say, taking off the business side hat off, and then thinking about the technology side, is one of the things that's happening with vehicles is that they're becoming a lot smarter. And in order for that to happen, they have to be more electric. So that's one of the things that I see. We think about how smart our devices are now for phones or mobile phones or computers, those things are just off the charts smart to what they were half a decade, even a decade ago. And we see what vehicles can do now and the technology that they have in there. It's really going to be powered by electricity moving forward. The combination is still there right now for even hybrid vehicles that are becoming more electric a lot faster than conventional fuel. But one of the biggest drivers, I think, too, is going to be the shift in customer base. The customer base that's coming into now being that bigger consumer, the larger consumer, is really looking for a more sustainable path for everything that they do. And transportation is one of the big ones. So, yeah, for an organization for us, UNS Energy, Tucson Electric Power, we really want to meet the customer needs. And if the customer is looking at electrifying their transportation, we will be there to deliver that need.
And I have a question on that a little bit later, because there's the consumer versus the big drivers, or the big volume drivers. So I just, before we go on to that, I just want to ask about the how. And of course, you know, this is the question I'm obsessed with. So in July of this year, the Arizona Corporation Commission, our state's governing entity for utility companies, voted to approve a plan to develop electric vehicle infrastructure in the state. And I want to read a quote from the article I read, and it's a short quote. "Adopting electric vehicle use in the state isn't necessarily as easy as buying EVs and getting them out on the road. There has to be a complete overhaul of transportation infrastructure and utilities if electric vehicles are to be folded in on a greater scale." And, you know, I just have to say what I'm feeling. It's like, how the heck are we going to get from here to there? You see gas stations all over the place, and that's the infrastructure in place. And for this big shift that I'm reading about, not just here, in countries, in other states, I mean, it's driving. That wheel, that whatever bus is, train has left the station is what I'm trying to go for. How are we going to get there, Ray?
Yeah, so I think that's really one good point. You know, it's always, I like how you said, you know, the train has left the station. Other references are like, you can't keep the waves off of the beach, right? It's just, they're going to come.
It's happening.
And this is happening. And I think for us to get there, I think Tucson Electric Power has a foot up, where we've always had a strong grid, and we are ready to deliver to our customers. When you think about an electric vehicle right now, if you do an average of what we call a level 2 charger, and the home equivalent of the total load is between 8 kW or 8 kilowatt and 10 kilowatt, you know, that's like parking another home inside of your garage at some point. Those are the things that we really want to bring, one, awareness to the customers, get them that education and outreach that they need when they're looking at these type of transportation. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to be able to deliver. It means that we are going to be able to deliver, but we want to do it in the best fashion for those customers, along with the implementation plan approval for electric vehicle infrastructure in the state of Arizona. Tucson Electric Power actually has some electric vehicle residential rates that were approved that we're working on. And that helps customers understand the benefits of the charging times throughout the day. So first line of being able to deliver the customers is getting them on the right rate for their new electric vehicles.
You know, we've had show guests that really adequately explained the time of use that you can do with your bill. So I know that one of the things you're probably going to recommend is that you charge your vehicles at night when the grid is not being taxed, later at night.
Yeah.
Later at night. And do you see it, is it going to be a hybrid, so to speak, of charging stations along I-10 and a lot of home charging stations? Because I've had a charging stations in my house. It didn't impact my electric bill at all. It was a hybrid, and it would charge, you know, fairly quickly. I mean, I put it in overnight, so I don't know how long it takes to charge. Do you see on the landscape it's going to be a combination of all those things?
So different projections that are coming out are that 80% of charging would be at the residential side.
I can see that then.
For the mass customer base. But then we need to really think about all of our customer bases. So when we think about the residential, that's one great solution for them. But what about our other customer base, the non-residential customer base? How do we support them where it might not be something that they're charging overnight, where their utilization might happen overnight, or they might do some charging throughout different periods of the day? Those are things that we're continuing to look at and really trying to try and solve, whether it's by supporting them with the right type of charging product, the right type of charger, and then the right type of solution that's incentivized by the utility to give them some sort of management for that charge, and really support them and saying, if you need a specific charge time, you know, what does that look like for you as a customer? And going back to the residential customer, as well as the really, as the growth in or as the evolution of this electric vehicle product continues to change, or the electric vehicles continues to change, is one, the growing capacity with the growing range of drivability is how much will our customers actually now venture out of the territory away from their homes is, and how do we support that?
Right.
And that's where we talk about the statewide solutions. That's where we have to partner look at the Department of Transportation to come in and have those bigger discussions with us, talk to other utilities where our customers might be charging as well. How do we make that easier for them, and conversely make it easier for their customers on our side?
So, yeah, like how does it all get paid for, and who's gonna foot that bill? Well, in that same article, the Corporation Commission also talked about the role of utility companies in this transition and what you all have been charged with. And it said, we want the utilities to come out with pilot programs to focus on the infrastructure and handle locations for charging stations and come out with outreach and education. So, I know it was July and this is like the middle of August, but I can't imagine that you just started. That was like the big news flash in July. Are there anything that you can talk about yet in terms of what pilot programs you're even considering? And I don't want to put you on the spot.
No.
I'm just curious about what are some of the preliminary thoughts, if you can share them.
So the benefits, I think one of the benefits that Tucson Electric Power has is that we go back before July. In February of 2019, we actually had an approved EV offering through the demand side management portfolio. And right now, it's one, continue down that path, and then really look at what a new implementation plan for pilots would look like. I think the and I'm not exactly sure. I'll go back and revisit, but I believe we're encouraged to submit that plan in September. So we're working on that to have a submission on that plan to September. But we were fairly confident on the approvals for the demand side management EV offerings that were very solid. I mean, we had a new residential new construction incentive for builders. We were looking at incentives for residential customers for retrofits and charging product. I believe it was 75% of the total cost of install, with a cap at around $500. So those are things that are very complementing, I think. And along with those approvals, we were looking at commercial customer offerings. Those are a little bit different as we venture out and look at some of the things that we've done. Especially, I'm not sure if you're familiar with some of the stuff that we've worked with SunTran, the transit authority here in Tucson, and supporting them on some of their pilots and for electric vehicle or electric buses and charging. So those are things that we continue to move forward with and really look at.
And that's, I think about it, and in a lot of the, the research I've done and doing this for a really long time, when you think about UPS, FedEx, now we have Prime, the Prime trucks are all over this neighborhood all the time, and the United States Postal Service, I mean, they are heavy users. They're out in the road. I mean, we have had UPS and FedEx deliveries here at 9 o'clock at night. I was trying to think about the best question, because they are national companies, but they operate here. They're looking for cost savings. Every time fuel fluctuates, it impacts their bottom line. So when you talk about the business customer, is that something that, is that a big piece of it? Because there's people that are on the road. That's all they do is drive. The average homeowner doesn't drive that much in a day.
So definitely. I mean, I think those are the, when we say like the business customers, the commercial customers, those non-residential customers, those are who we're looking at. But then too, we want to make sure that they have the proper product, right? They're the proper electric vehicles of what's out in the market right now. We're not selecting that for them, or even the charging product.
Right.
We just want to be there to support them when they're ready for that. If you think about some of those companies that you just named right now, is their vehicle that they're utilizing a passenger vehicle, which is highly what's out there right now on the market. I know when we look at those light duty passenger vehicles, there's a good, I'll say there's a good number of models that are out there and available.
Right, right.
We start looking at that mid-size or heavy-duty vehicle that's electric. Those are, I think right now, we're at that point where we're seeing that kind of take off, and there's a lot of prototypes and pilots out there from different companies, and we really want to be ready for them. So what we do on our end is research, vet, and prepare for that. So when one of our customers does come towards us and says, hey, we're ready to move forward with this fleet change, or you know, we're looking at this, what are the thoughts for that? I mean, we're there to really be our customer's energy partner as well as energy provider.
And it's going to be, when I was thinking about this, because you know I'm kind of obsessed with how this is all going to happen, it will be probably, like you said, a slow climb in that arena, and then there'll be a tipping point, and then we'll all be looking around and seeing electric vehicles. I also notice, and this makes perfectly good sense, that the Corporation Commission encouraged businesses to start really looking at their infrastructure so that, you know, the local UPS office will have how many charging stations for when that day comes, or even smaller businesses. I know Bookman's, I mean, Bob Oldfather is a friend of mine, and he put a charging station at the big Bookman's on Speedway years ago. And when I had my hybrid, I would go there and plug my car in. So there are businesses that are thinking about the future. And, you know, there's 7 Bookman stores around the state. So it's a sample of what can happen.
Yes, definitely. I think one of the things that we started looking at is the goals that a lot of the companies are meeting. A lot of it, we talked a little bit about the customer base at the residential level. Customers are consumers of electric vehicles, and Tucson Electric Power customers might do it for different reasons there. Somebody might just want to be more sustainable, or you reduce their conventional fuel use, or have a little bit more of the technology side of it, right? This is the technology cool factor, or nerd factor, if you're me.
Right.
You know, so those are the different things that that I say that can happen when we're looking at things as consumers. But they all have a certain need that is met with that one type of product or that electric vehicle. When we look at businesses, you know, it's the same. The variety might be a little bit different. Is it a corporate goal? Is it something that they're trying to really achieve as an organization? Is it a culture change? You know, corporate culture is
huge.
Changing, and it's huge, and it's changing for a lot of organizations. And those are things that I think will shift the way they are utilizing their transportation needs. And again, something that you said earlier was that how are we going to deliver that shift, you know, and it's by partnering with them. You know, I think ultimately it's by partnering with our customers and being their energy partners as well as energy providers, and really understanding what their needs are and how we can support that being met.
And there'll be a big education component to this, I assume.
There has to
no
be.
No wonder you have this big new title change. You're going to have a lot to do, Ray.
The benefit of that is that it's not just me. It's a big group. It's the organization is huge that's working on this, and the amount of resources that we have and the employees that are so ready. One of the things is that I think the value that Tucson Electric Power brings is that we're not just employees that are working towards this new initiative. Our employees are excited about this, and we really want to get this done, and that's really important. One of the things that we think about education and outreach, as you said right now, or it starts off like that marketing component, but really the driver of telling and helping customers, or not telling, but giving customers the information so that they can really educate themselves, and how we can support that continued education is really important, especially not just in our territory or state, but I think just across all paths for electric vehicle products or electric vehicles. I look at some of the things that I hear in California, which is one of the highest adopters of electric vehicles, and more than 50% of the customer base there doesn't know what an electric vehicle is. So when you look at Arizona, it's like that tells us how much education and outreach is add, and how important it's going to be for us to move this forward.
Yes. So this is really, it might seem so simplistic, in this vision of the future, I keep grasping at what is it going to look like? Is it possible that I will go up to, let's just say, Whole Foods, and they have 20 charging stations? is the world envisioned, it, like, am I going to be able to plug my vehicle in and put, like, money in the meter kind of thing? Like, who's going to pay for that? Is the business going to absorb that? Or is that not what you see happening?
So, I'm not sure. So the business models for that are ever changing. One of the things that we want to make sure we do is that it's in our charter. So we talked about safety, power, quality, right, and reliability. Right. Our, in our charter is to keep costs down. So one of the main things that we want to move forward with is whatever path should happen for the charging infrastructure. And you bring up Whole Foods. And if my daughter listens to this, she's going to love it because she's looking at an electric vehicle.
And I hope she looks at,
and
listens.
Her, and her first thing is, I can just charge at Whole Foods, because every time we go to Whole Foods, there's charging there. And so those are the things, whether it's a Whole Foods or another type of store or another type of supermarket or, you know, another business that decides to charge or have a charging infrastructure or have charging stations, is we want to be there to support them and to be able to deliver that for their customers. Moving forward, we are just going to really fall into those regulatory orders that are set on how that happens. Part of the implementation plan helps us lay that out.
So in that same, I read a couple of things, like I said, from the Corporation Commission. It said that what they announced includes a layout of potential locations for charging stations and incentives or rebates for EV drivers. And how's that going to work? Is that like, the only thing I thought of was like interstates and state highways, because you're going to serve the area that you serve. But then there's all that abyss on those roads that are not within necessarily your customer area. How is that going? How are those dots going to be connected? Does that make sense?
So, yeah. So I think the bigger picture is, so let's talk about Tucson Electric Power being here. Salt River Project being up the north, northwest, as Arizona Public Service, with Arizona Public Service different spots. And then our sister utility, Unisource Electric, being in the northwestern part of the state and southern most part of the state in Nogales, is how do we make that actually happen? So honestly, it's going to be a group effort. We've started conversations with other utilities on how we make those, make those charging capabilities align, as well as with other organizations. Those are the things that we're going to continue to do. And one of the things that I've always said is what we know today may not be true tomorrow. It's not that we just have to keep continuously looking at the changes that are happening.
And it can change that fast.
Yeah, and I know I said this before we started, but I think the only constant is change. And it's true, so true with technology. And when I look at electric vehicles, a lot of people say, well, electric vehicles is just a transportation product. And it was true, but I think now it's such a heavy technology product that does transportation.
Yeah, yes.
Again, that's just the way I'm viewing it, and could be more of that, just kind of technology driver or thought process for me. But I think one of those things that we'll continue to look at is really keep the open communications with the other utilities. Department of Transportation is going to be very important, things that we want to do, and work with our different organizations that are in either local to Tucson or that are statewide that we participate in.
And yeah, there are some coalitions that are working to make this all happen too.
Yeah.
Perfect question for a self-proclaimed technology nerd, which is what you called yourself. Okay, so I had an electric vehicle, and they have charging stations at La Encantada. They didn't fit my vehicle. The nozzles, they were not fits. One was for a volt, and another was for something else. Ray, tell me how that is going to work, because all of the EV car manufacturers aren't making that one adapter that fits into every car. What's going to happen for that?
So I think it's, I'll say this for, I'll get into a little bit of it. So different ways to talk about that is that level two charging, which is kind of the mid level charge. We talked about like about 8 kilowatt.
Right, right.
It can go up to 19 kilowatt for some manufacturers. They tend to be pretty equal across the different models that are out there right now. with respect to Tesla. So Tesla is very proprietary to what they have. So their charging, their plug in their vehicle is just Tesla plug. Now, Tesla does make adapters to be able to use the other type of chargers. So now the other thing is that some vehicles might take a level 3 or a DC fast charge, which is a different nozzle as well, a different plug that goes into your vehicle than compared to the level 2. That would really depend on the type of vehicle that you have, on whether or not it is able to take a DC fast charger or if it's just a standard level 2. I talked a little bit about my daughter wanting to look at electric vehicles for her next vehicle purchase. And
so are you buying her a Tesla?
No comment. her criteria for electric vehicles is that it needs to be small, cute, and electric.
And is that out there?
Yeah, so
I think so.
So she's looked at a few, but one of the ones that she looked at was only level 2 charger. So those are conversations that, you know, having to have about, and it was so, it's funny because it's with respect to what something that I'm doing and work and able to talk to her about. But it's really important that customers understand that when they're making these purchases, it's like, what are you going to be able to do? If you have a need to do a super fast charge or like a quick fill up of your entire electric tank or capacity for your vehicle, you're not going to be able to do it. You're going to have about, right now it's on for that charge, maybe about 25 miles an hour of charge. So you have to be there an hour charging in order for you to get 25 miles. That's just on average. I'm not saying that's every vehicle.
Right.
So I'll just use that as on average, where a DC fast charge may do an entire fill up in about an hour. For a bigger range of vehicles. So if you look at like Tesla vehicles that are 200 or 300 mile ranges, their fast chargers are going to fill them up a lot faster, around an hour. So,
and I just want to clarify something we said earlier. When you said the technology's changing, is part of that technology change, I just want to make sure that I didn't miss it, is that the vehicles will be able to go farther on the charge that they have?
So the vehicles will change. They'll have more range.
And
then the level of charging, so how fast those vehicles charge, is going to grow. So it's some things that are called ultra-fast charging, which is way faster than what we see right now. And the type of plug might not matter in the future. We have inductive charging coming. One of the vehicle manufacturers has said that in 2020, one of the vehicles that it releases.
What is that?
Inductive charging is where you just, like your phone, when you charge it and you just lay it on a mat and it charges it.
You're going to be kidding
me. So your vehicle will just drive over a mat and it'll charge itself. And those are things that have been out, but they're now becoming a little bit more real.
Whoa.
With manufacturers saying, hey, it goes to show you that their investment is in electrification.
You know, for me, who started out in my life with a rotary telephone where you pick it up and it was a party line, to see the advances in technology, it excites the heck out of me. I mean, this is exciting to me. I embrace all those changes, and sometimes it's scary, but I think it's helping get us to a place where we can be a little bit kinder and gentler to the planet, if nothing else. But it's also exciting. It's fun to learn about all these new things.
Same here. I mean, I'm super fortunate to be in this. I'll say this, not just working in this field, but for an organization like the one I work for. And then at the end of the day, my main criteria is that I added value in one way or another. And I see helping my community, helping, you know, just the environment. Those are all benefits that are much greater than a lot of the other stuff that I could have done.
So I think we should put you on the 6-month rotation schedule so that you can come in and bring us up to date, because it's a really hugely interesting area for me to learn about and to really find out. And like I said, from December till July, look at what happened. I mean, that is not that long. So I can't wait to see what happens in January of 2020. So I have had all my burning questions answered. Is there anything obvious that I missed or anything that you want to add as we draw to a close in this it was like on fast forward?
Yeah. So no, these are really great questions. So there's a lot of stuff that's happening that we hope to continue to have in the works. And, you know, really, I think with the new implementation plan order, it really kind of opens us up to really try and be encouraged, or we were encouraged to do more pilots. So I think that, you know, our ideation stage, our innovations are going to come a lot faster.
I can't wait.
Hopefully a lot faster, but a lot more of them
right.
as well.
So, right. Yeah. I can't wait. So last word from Mrs. Green's World. We are passionately committed to raising awareness about every aspect of climate change imaginable. And whether this is the first podcast you have listened to or not, you know that we believe mitigating the progression of climate change is what we're about. The reduction of CO2 emissions is arguably one of the biggest issues we are facing as the planet continues to warm, and we will be facing it in the weeks, months, and years to come. It's exciting for me and encouraging for us to know that Tucson Electric Power Company is helping to move the green needle forward in any number of ways, including their increased expansion of renewable energy sources, and now helping to lead the charge when it comes to our transition as a state to electric vehicles. For a large-scale utility company with many masters to answer to, we are happy to see that TEP continues to move in what we believe is the right direction. Thanks for being a part of our world, everybody, and turn that light switch off when you leave the room. And Ray, thanks for being with us. It's always delightful, and to me, the time always flies, and that's a good sign.
Thank you for having me. It's been great to be here and participate in this as well.
And it's fun.
It's super fun.